Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hello and welcome to Daily Pop Live on YouTube. I'm Carissa Kolliner. This is Justin Sylvester. We have such a huge show today. We have Sharon Osbourne joining us. We have Eve joining us. It's such a huge show. We also, first though, have to talk about how Britney Spears just broke the freaking internet by posting this video. Watch. In case you didn't know, that's Justin Timberlake's song Filthy. Okay, that is Britney Spears dancing to Justin Timberlake. But even more importantly, she actually referenced the relationship in the post right there. You see, P.S. I know we had one of the world's biggest breakups 20 years ago, but hey, the man is a genius. Great song, JT. And then Justin Timberlake replied, an emoji, four emojis, some high fives, some laughing emojis. People are losing their minds. My other favorite comment on this was Jamie Lynn Spears, her sister, saying, all right, now the blogs are going to go crazy. Good job, sis.
Great job. You know, listen people into a tailspin during quarantine and have you do this at this time. Come on. The fact that she is referencing this breakup from 20 years ago, because, you know, rumor has it, the reason why they broke up was because she stepped out, which made Cry Me a River one of the biggest hits ever. And she came out and she, you know, she didn't ever said anything about it. So for her to finally even bring it up is such a big deal.
I know. Well, but at the same time, 20 years ago, I think she waited a long enough time to make a joke, right?
Oh, I don't think it was a joke. I think it was fact. She was like, look, we had the biggest breakup, but this guy is a genius. You can't really skirt around that the guy is musically amazing. I just, however, have been waiting for this for 2 decades.
Oh my gosh. I thought it was so cute. Some people, of course, were asking, do you think Jessica Biel's mad? There's no way in the world, though, I think that Jessica Biel is bothered by this whatsoever.
Not at all. You know, when somebody was a lifetime ago, I mean, Justin Timberlake dated other women in between. You know, there was Cameron Diaz. There was that fling with, what's her name? I don't want to say it on air. You know who I'm talking about. So there was women in between that, you know, before Jessica Biel. So I don't think she's even worried about it. It was something cute. It wasn't anything derogatory towards her man. If anything, this was just like confirming what she already knows, that she won a prize.
Do you think that they're still fans of each other's in the sense, like, obviously she knew this song, but do you think that he buys her music and she buys his music? Do you think they're like legit fans of each other?
I think he was so heartbroken when all that happened and his ego was bruised that he probably turned away every time she got on stage at an award show. Don't you remember whenever she was dancing with Madonna and Christina Aguilera and the camera panned to him and he wasn't even looking, like he was trying to look the other way?
But that's always so awkward because you know the camera's on you the whole time. I mean, we've been to those award shows. It's literally like they're like 5 feet away and the camera's just staring at you and you're just like, don't do anything weird. Don't do anything weird. I feel like, you know, he may not have been looking at her, but it was probably on purpose because he was so trying not to do anything that would make it look weird or make it look like he was sad or make it look like, you know what I mean? It's like everybody's going to overanalyze anything that he would have done.
No, for sure, for sure. But you know what? It's fun. It's nice. It's good to see that we can actually talk about the elephant in the room, because had she just posted the JT song and danced to it and not said anything, then I think people would have gone even wilder.
Very good point. Very good point. I thought that was cool that she actually acknowledged it, because it was like she knew it was going to be a thing. And see, and this is the thing where she's actually being aware, which so many celebrities will post stuff on social media and all these headlines will come out about it. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe anybody would think like that. And Britney's like, no, I know how this game works. It's a Justin Timberlake song. You guys are going to go freaking crazy. So I'm going to acknowledge it. I mean, and that shows like some major self-awareness for Britney.
No, that shows that Britney got time.
Yeah.
Britney got time to think about a caption.
My actual favorite part about the caption, though, is, just so you all know, I'm not really dancing. I'm just being silly. That's like, she really, as you can see, I'm not really dancing, folks. I'm just very bored. Like, she has to clarify, because she wants everybody to know, don't take this seriously. This isn't my real dance moves. I have much better dance moves that I will show you in another video.
My favorite part of that whole thing is, what's good? Like, it's literally watching Love and Hip Hop. Or there's a black lady living with her right now, because she is speaking in my native tongue.
In your language. Okay. Well, what's good, possibly, is this new reality show coming. Okay, there's this new reality show that got announced by Fox. It's called Labor of Love. Here's a little clip.
I'm ready. Let's have some kids.
15 daddy wannabes.
Sudden fatherhood is terrifying.
Compete for love and then some.
What labor actually feels like.
So here's the thing. So the woman, which is one woman, 15 guys, they're all vying to be her, not just her boyfriend or husband or life partner, but the baby daddy. Because she wants a baby and these guys want babies. So they're being put to the test to see the potential match. Now, first of all, is this show genius or stupid?
I think this is genius.
Genius.
I think for anyone who wants a child and knows that they want a child and also doesn't have that much time to waste, what better way is that than through an IVF? They check your vitals. They make sure you don't have any diseases. You have to go through a psychiatric evaluation. They're going to check your bank account. They will do all the scrubbing and digging your best girlfriend will do on a drunken night with two glasses of wine for you and give you 15 hopefuls. This is pretty damn genius. I would do it.
Would you? Would you really? You wouldn't trust this, because see, my thinking is, even on The Bachelor, they'll go through all of those steps as you just talked about. And so you have a little bit of trust in your producers that they pick some quality men or women. And then they get to through the season and then they look back and they find out that, no, these are not the people that they thought that they were at all. They're like blinded by this environment of situations that's not real life. I feel like I understand the point, but what's more important? Is it more important for her to find someone who's a good sperm donor, like, you know, just to have the baby? Or is she actually looking for a life partner? That's where I'm confused about this. I mean, I think she's hoping that she gets both, but 15 is not that many people. I feel like you need more choices.
I think the betting was good. I think for her, and I think a lot of couples, there are people who have dated and who love each other and who were married that realize that they aren't fit to be romantic partners. But as partners in a baby or in any other life challenge, that they are good together. Look at Wayne Brady and his ex-wife. They're best friends. They're producing partners. They raise their child together and they are great at it, but they weren't meant to be life partners. I think it happens to some people. And if you're at a certain age and you don't have that much time to waste, guess what? You have to start looking at your options. And maybe some of your best options is looking for the person who you could see yourself raising a child with, as opposed to getting somebody who you love and who you trust to then learn that they're dead be dead.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And there's actually, I mean, I have friends who've gotten divorced because they could never get on the same page about children. You know, it got to the thing, like they both in the beginning said, oh, we want kids. But as their marriage continued, as they grew and evolved, one person got closer to that actual wanting that to be a reality. And the other person got further and further and further from actually wanting it. And seeing, you know, and it just ended up breaking up the marriage because she knew like, hey, this isn't going to work. Obviously you are not ready to be a father. You have no intention of being a father. That was something we thought we were going to both be doing. Yeah. I mean, it does take that huge conversation and put it like front and center. And being a baby daddy is different than just being like a good husband or being a good like lover, you know? But I just hope she finds both. Like, I'm just going to be so sad if, what if she falls in love with one guy, but then this other guy is like the better father. What do you do? Do you pick the better father or do you go with the guy that you like love more?
But maybe this woman has had all the love that she can handle in a lifetime. Maybe she's found the love of her life and it just didn't make sense to have a child with him. I always tell people, I know this whole thing and you know where I grew up is, does he have kids? Oh no, that's baggage. Hell, show me a man with kids because you can see what they're like to other people and you can see what they're like as a father. That's a preview into the life that you're going to sign up for. And again, some people are meant to have children together and some people are just meant to be life partners and some people are meant to be loves that pass. But look, when you're honest with what you want, you're going to get it.
Yeah, well, the show starts May 21st. It's on Fox. It's called Labor of Love. I'm still going to watch. I'm interested because I want to know what kind of tests they do to prove that he's a good father. It's like changing a diaper on a doll. I don't know if that tells me enough. I need to know character. I need to know, like, how do you handle it whenever your two-year-old takes their poop and throws it on the wall? You know, things like that. You know, your life situation. All right. Well, I got to head out, but you've got two amazing women coming up. You have Eve and Sharon Osborne here. Let's welcome them to the show.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hi!
How are you?
Sorry, I was texting. My bad. How are you both?
Good. I am good. We have a lot to talk to you about today. First of all, your man, we just literally talked about men that have kids already. Was that a positive for you, finding your husband who had four kids already?
Can I tell you something? So when I, before him, for years, I used to be like, I would never date a man with children because I had baby mama drama in the past. Yeah. And then as I got older, I was kind of like, you know what? Maybe dependent on the type of man. And he was also married before. Mm-hmm. So there was a different maturity when I met him because he was already married. He, you know, he was raising kids. It was more the number than it was. and I was like, woo, four kids. But I wound up falling in love with him and the four kids, and they've been nothing but a blessing. So I think it worked out for me.
Yeah. But girl, I've been reading the horror stories online, girl. How hard is it to quarantine with four teenagers?
Wait, so I'm going to tell you. So we only have our oldest teenager with us, Lotus, because her other siblings live in Barcelona with their mom and their stepdad. So we had two of them. And then right before the border shut, the second oldest wanted to go to her mother. So we only have our 17-year-old, which honestly for me has been really nice because they go to boarding school. So I've been having to spend a lot of time with her. Nice. Now, the other side of the world, her mom has six kids.
So oh, wow.
I got it easy right now. Yeah.
You got it easy. Wait, we have Sharon Osborne.
Yes.
popcorn.
How are you dealing with this quarantine, Sharon? Have you been eating? Have you been drinking? What's going on?
Oh, my Lord. Both. I mean, last night I was so blottoed. I think I was carried to bed by my daughter. I feel like a couch potato. That's
Do you have all the kids? Do you have all the kids in one place right now?
No, they're all separated. My eldest daughter, Amy, is with her father and I here in our house. And the other two are at their own places, but we're all in LA.
Oh my God. Are we still hearing Sharon from downstairs?
All day long, it never ends.
How weird is it for you guys to be doing the talk while this is all going on and not being able to like feel each other's vibes and like hug each other every morning like you normally do?
Odd, isn't it, Eve?
Yes, it's so weird because we do come together. Like in the mornings, we have our little time, we do our meetings, and then we get to talk in between breaks and
we gossip
and like just hugs. And I miss Mrs. O is right next to me, so I miss her dog and my dog. And like, it's just, it's very weird. It is very weird.
Too, without an audience, you know,
it's
like dead. We look at it, we just talk, but there's nothing in between. So it's
so crazy because it seems like the audience really, you know, kind of makes the conversation come alive. How are you guys compensating for not having that? I think you're muted, Sharon.
We lost her. She'll be back. This is the new norm, right? Technology figuring it out. Honestly, though, I miss the audience a lot. You know, I've always appreciated him. We've always appreciated him. Sharon, you're on mute.
You got to press unmute at the bottom.
We've always appreciated our audience, but I think not, you know, even more so now. Like, you get to know them. There are some audience members who actually come a few times a month. So you actually get to know them. They're really invested. Wait. Sharon, where is the mic? It's at the bottom, Sharon. But this is the new norm. This is what we have to deal with. We're all doing it. Everybody's doing it.
Hello?
There we go.
You can hear me. I can't hear you.
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Leave studio. What's that?
No, you don't want to do that.
Look, I know. For years, you were on the road, you were performing. Yeah. Do you ever miss that tour life? Or are you getting used to being at home and chilling and waking up in the same bed every night?
No, you know what? They allow the tour. That's
Have you called her?
As well.
No.
We can hear you, Mrs. That's what's so great about the tour as well. I actually just completed a tour, a UK tour, a 10-city tour, right before this happened. And that's why I love being on the show, because they understand that we come together as one, as a cast, basically, but we're separate entities. When it comes to my music, I wouldn't be on the talk without my music. My music has given me everything in my life. So they understand that. Like, I tour a few times a year, always. Like, I'm always performing.
Oh my God. Yeah. What was it like the first time? Because, like, you know, when you meet your man, you're Eve and you're chilling and you got your pony and like you're good. And then you're like, hey, babe, come to my concert. This is the first one you're going to be at. What was the first time like he met Eve?
Well, what's crazy is I performed at one of his events and he didn't hire me for it. It was like a big corporate thing. And he watched my performance. He didn't know who I was. He knew my name, but he didn't know my music. And after that, he was like, oh. But we had met before my performance that night, and already we like it was like instant. And then after the performance, he's always so proud. Like, when you see him on the stage, he's always so proud.
Oh my God.
But still no audio.
Can you hear us?
Mm-mm.
No,
Sharon,
I can't hear you.
Sharon, you got all that money, girl, and we can't get a microphone.
Wait, we gotta write it.
Yes.
Oh. Oh my God, that is so funny. I love technology, child.
Share with all that money.
When she comes back.
What's been like the best part for you on being on The Talk?
It's opened me up. I never thought that being on a talk show would help me deal with so much, so many things in my life. Like in my music, I've definitely been real. I don't think I've been really raw. And being on The Talk, I've talked about my struggles with trying to get pregnant. I've talked about my struggles with alcohol in the past. I've talked about, you know, things like that. And I never talked about that with anyone other than the people who knew me close, but it's helped heal me and it's helped open me up and help me be vulnerable. And, you know, I think especially coming from hip hop and especially being a female in hip hop, my vulnerabilities weren't really celebrated. You're not supposed to, you know? So I think being on the show has definitely helped me. And I've met so many incredible people just being on the show. People that I have been, you know, fans of, people that it's just been nice. And being with this group of women, everybody's so different, but so amazing. You know, that's been a really nice thing. Cause I've been around dudes for so long. It was like,
it's finally probably nice to get those sweaty ass people out of your goddamn space. It's so funny because when you were coming up, you didn't have to fight with anybody. Like, you were kind of sort of like, you were spared. It's weird because you see the party thing, Kim and Foxy Brown, but you were kind of your own entity. Why do you think that you never were pitted against another woman?
I think there was a few things. A lot of people were definitely scared of Rough Riders, so they didn't want to mess with them. I was very protected. That's one. But two, I never was messy. And not to say that these other girls are, I just was never into it. It just wasn't my thing. And I think even when I was doing cyphers at 15 on the corner in Philly, all I wanted to do was be me. I didn't care about nobody else. Nobody else was my competition in my head. I am my own competition. And I always think I thought that way.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Bring me back to that first moment, because I always like, this is my favorite question to ask an artist, is when you get to that first moment where your record's out, you're number one, and you get on that stage and the light goes up and you can see people going rows and rows back. What was that feeling like for you?
You know, that's just, it gives me chills to think about that, because I still look at myself, I'm 41, but I still look at myself as like this little girl from Philly who made it, who is lucky. I never take for granted my life. And I do remember that first time being on the radio, that first time doing my big concert in New York. It was in New York, actually. And I think it was for like Hot 97 or something, one of those like those radio shows with everybody. And it was like, yo, all these people know me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who would have ever thought? Like, I was happy with having a song on the radio.
Yeah.
Hey, are we back? Can you hear us? Yes. Can we? Okay, good.
I was just listening. That feeling must have been unbelievable, Eve.
Yes. And you know, Mrs. O, you've seen it throughout your career with Ozzy, and like, it's, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like when you are this kid in your own space and you feel like you're an outcast anyway. And when other people accept you, accept your art, accept your energy, that is, oh, it's beautiful. It's a blessing, right?
It is.
What was it like that day you saw Ozzy bite that bat head off? Were you freaking out on the side?
You know I was, and wasn't I right to be? Look at what's happened. Freaked out. Must never eat bats. It's disgusting.
What's it like being married to someone whose creative energy surpasses anything on the planet? Because Ozzy Osbourne was one of those artists that you couldn't tell to not push it, because he would push it even harder.
That's right. I have to say, so much fun. We had so much fun at the beginning of his solo career. Every day there was a new episode of something crazy, and it was great. We loved it.
I think you guys have a bond. I can see it on the show. There's this bond that you guys have, and I think it's because music kind of brought you guys together.
Yep.
Do you see how music changes the world?
It does.
We love music.
Yes.
And that's it. You know, we love what we do. We love each other, and we're very blessed to have found each other. Because I think no one else would have taken either one of us.
As the last standing OG of the talk, the Grand Dame, as I like to call you, about Eve that made you want to work with her? Because I know you had some say in that.
She, do you know what? Both my kids have always loved Eve.
And I love them.
And they've always said, she's really good lady, Mom. She's a good lady. And then when Eve's name came up, it was like, yeah, I've heard really good things about her. You know, she's good. Aww. So it was really, that was my introduction to Eve, was through my kids. But I mean, obviously I knew her work, but it just, she is so easy. You know, people come with a lot of baggage sometimes when they come into a situation. She has no baggage. She's easy. She's accepts everyone. She's got a huge heart, and it's just great. It couldn't be better.
Oh, Mrs. O, thank you.
I want to be in y'all's family.
No, but it's true. I swear, I feel so, I tell people all the time, like, it's so incredible. And like, I love Mrs. O. No, I love her kids. I love them all. They're just an amazing family, period. The love that they have, I pray that that's what I have in my family with my children. Like, I love them. It's just, we're lucky. Like, and I think people watch us and they're like, is that really how it is? Do you guys really like each other? And it's like, actually, yeah, we do. Like, we really do.
She's so cool about everything. She just, you know, easy.
People take for granted whenever you have a good working situation, like loving and knowing your co-stars. It's more important than anything else on the show.
Absolutely.
You spend so much time at work, and you spend so much time with each other, that if there's a thing that doesn't work, it doesn't make it fun.
Yeah, you actually kind of dread that situation. Also because we give so much energy along with being there with the crowd and everything, we also have to give energy. If one person's off or one person's just has an attitude, or it's just, it really affects us as a group.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Well, girl, I got a blonde bob named Isabel in there. So if y'all need another lady on the talk, honey, I will put this inverted bob on, shave your beard, get a beat, and we can talk.
Okay, absolutely. That would be fabulous.
I love you guys.
Yay, thank you. So nice talking to you, actually. And me like this, like.
We've needed this for a long time.
Yeah.
106 and Park days at home in the summers. I appreciate it, you guys. I will be watching you on the talk that airs every day on CBS. Eve, thank you so much. Sharon, I'm so happy you joined us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Guys have a good day. Oh, my God. I am obsessed with the talk. I've been obsessed with Sharon Osbourne since the Osbournes came on TV, and Eve's music, if you have not heard it, start at her first album, go all the way to the album that she let out in 2013. The music is amazing. It's on point, and it's just fun. And you know what? If you need some more laughs and you need something else to take your mind off of this COVID situation, we're going to be here tomorrow again at noon, giving you all the tea, talking about all the great topics. And we might actually have a surprise guest for you tomorrow. So join us tomorrow, 12 o'clock, on the Daily Pop YouTube Rundown. See you later.